I was like, if he can put up with me for 26.2, I think we're good. And then we ended up running a 50 miler together. And I was like, if he can put up with me for 50 miles, I could probably marry this guy.
Dizruns Radio episode 429 starts in 3, 2. Welcome back to Diz Runs Radio, where I talk with runners from all corners of the running world about running, life, and everything in between. I'm your host, Denny Cray, and it's just about time to head out the door for an easy run and a great conversation. So if you're ready, then I'm ready. Let's get started. Hey guys, today's episode of the show is brought to you by Pro Compression, who makes, you know, just some really great high quality compression gear, which is great for recovery. And you know, you can get it sleeves, you can get socks, you can get tights, whatever you might need, whatever your compression needs are, get them from Pro Compression. And one of the cool things they're doing is offering, you know, you guys as listeners of the show, a 40% discount, as in 40. As in almost half price on anything that is at the website. So head over to procompression.com, use the code DIZRUNS at checkout to save 40%. And doing so is a great way to support the show because you're supporting the sponsors that support us. And so it's a win-win-win for everybody. So thanks to Pro Compression for sponsoring this episode. And now let's get on with today's show. Hey guys, there are some people that simply from hearing a few things about them make me think and really make me know that they would be a lot of fun to chat with on the podcast. And today's guest is one such woman. From her bio on saltyrunning.com, she says, "I am a pixie-haired, tattooed, social introvert, quote-unquote, domestic goddess that is originally from Chicago. I traded in my party girl high heels for running shoes years ago, and my life since then has changed for the better." That right there was pretty much all I needed and all I needed to know to reach out to her and invite her on the show. And, well, here we are. So with that, it is a pleasure to be welcoming Ms. Jasmine Tracy to the show. Thanks for joining us today, Jasmine.
Thank you for having me. This is quite the experience. I always listen to podcasts. Now being on one, I'm like, wow.
you've made the big time now. You've made the, although my show is hardly big time, but that's neither here nor there. Anyway, guys, if you want to connect with Jasmine, the best place to do so is to throw her a follow on Instagram, and her handle there is @run_Jasmine_run. So run Jasmine run with the underscores in between. And obviously we'll have the link to her profile there if you want to connect with her, and links to anything else that makes sense to link up to in the show notes for this episode, which you can find at dizruns.com/429. So Jasmine, the way we always start off with each episode of the show is with a very simple question that sometimes has a very simple answer, and sometimes it's a little bit more difficult and layered, and it really just either way provides a fun place to start the chat. And that's just to simply ask, what is your favorite distance to race and why?
Oh, I have a two distances that come to mind, but they're very similar.
Okay.
In the aspect at like the end of that distance, the 50K and the marathon. Mm. Just because I feel like towards the end of each distance, you kind of have to like dig deep and mentally focus and really pull out that extra grit to get to the finish line. And I definitely love running longer opposed to like shorter distances. I am not a 5K racer by any means. Even though I've tried to focus at the beginning of the year on that, I'm just not good with running super fast for a short distance. Yeah, so
That works for
definitely.
Me. Yeah, no, you're in a lot of, at least with the folks that have been on the show, a lot of good company with not enjoying the 5K, although we've certainly had a few 5K people in over the years beyond here. But yeah, I am right there with you. I'd rather go long, and even though you might hurt and suffer a little bit longer because of it, it's I'd rather enjoy at least the first half or three quarters of a race before it just becomes torture. And that 5K, it's rough from the get-go.
Yeah, there's just something, I don't know, I just like settling into a pace and like having that nice time to like get into the groove. And then with 5Ks and then 10Ks too, like I just can't, I don't know, I tend to go out too fast in the beginning with 5Ks and then just like really struggling at the end.
Well, you're in good company there too, because I think that's an issue that a lot of people have. Do you have that same struggle with the longer stuff, or is it a lot easier for you to just go out comfortably and settle in and enjoy, you know, hang on and enjoy it for the rest of those longer races?
I definitely think I'm more of an endurance runner. Right now I'm kind of getting back into like possible ultra marathoning. Mm-hmm. I've been playing around with the idea of like doing another 50 miler and maybe even a 100 miler, but like it scares me to stay up during the night and run. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I don't do that well on limited sleep. Mm-hmm. So I might take a rain check on that one.
Well, but I mean, like you said, you can certainly go, you know, 50K, 50 miles. Those are, I don't want to say, I'm not going to use the word easy, but those are very much doable in, you know, a normal day cycle. So, you know, those would fit.
Yeah, and I think it's more, this is going to sound maybe a little bit weird, kind of spiritual in the sense when you go longer, you have to really rely on yourself. And there's a lot of conversation between God and me during ultra marathons. I'm like, please God, don't let my legs give up. But yeah, I think those are that's kind of like what helped me, I guess, evolve into a better person is just like cover a lot of miles. And then you get into that like mindset. Okay. Like, I don't know. It's hard to explain. I don't know if it's like runner's high or like some kind of like spiritual awakening while running.
Well, but you know,
a combo of both.
Yeah, I'm sure it is probably a little bit of both. And you know, when you're out there for that long, like, you know, you're going to have, I can't remember where I heard this. I don't know if it was on, I don't think it was on my podcast. God, I hope it wasn't, because I would like to be able to remember who had said it, but I think it was somewhere else where somebody just had basically said that, you know, I mean, when you're running that long, whether it's, you know, 50 miles, 100 miles, whatever, like, you know, if there's unresolved things, like they're going to come up, your mind is going to wander to those things and you're going to have to, you know, for lack of a better way of saying it, deal with it. So whether that's a spiritual thing, whether that's just a introspective thing, you know, I can see where, you know, I mean, I've done one ultra to date, and like, yeah, like there's some things that come into the mind over the course of that type of distance. So I get what you're saying for sure.
I can't remember. One of my ultra crazy friends told me once, like, you have to be really good with yourself before you go into an ultra, because it will come out sometime during those miles. The ugly will come out. And you want to be as like at peace with yourself as much as possible. And I definitely think that's true.
Yeah.
Because I've had some really bipolar moments in marathons and in ultras. So
what was
pretty.
Yeah, no, I it's, that mind thing can get to you. And it's interesting to me, at least how, Every race is just a little bit different from the mental perspective. But curious, and I've said this dozens of times, and folks that have listened to the show for a long time maybe are sick of me saying this at this point, but I'd said for the longest time, no way, no way, no way to ultra marathons. Like a marathon was good enough, 26.2 is good enough. And then, of course, you know, the peer pressure that it is, eventually I caved and ran my first ultra, and I'm certainly not saying never again. I had a good time and enjoyed it. But it was a long road to get me from 26.2 to 50K. Was that a big jump for you, or was it when you did your previous ultra, was that a pretty, just kind of the standard, that was the next thing, you're working your way up with distances, or how did you go from the marathon distance to the ultra distance?
Oh man, I went, pardon my French, but ass backwards. I did a trail 50K first.
Oh, wow.
Before I did a marathon. And to go back to your first question, the marathon 50K, why I picked both of those, because my very first experience in both distances were just really great, like precious memories. That first 50K, I had a group of girlfriends who didn't need to twist my arm that much on going to run this 50K with them. It was a Dance with Dirt Green Swamp, I think that's what it's called, in Florida. And I was like, yeah, yeah, sure. I've run like 14 miles. Let's go run a 50K. And even though I kind of just like jumped into it, I think I ran like 120 miler before I even ran that ultra with them. It was just a great experience because you were just with friends, and the ultra community is really like kind of relaxed compared to the marathon community. That's just how I feel. Like, I think they're a little bit more laid back. So I really liked that, you know, community. Like, we're going to go run a bunch of miles and then drink beer afterwards and eat like potato chips or stuff. So I was like, oh, I like these people. Yeah, it was just a great memory because I remember like one of the girls was like, oh, 26.2 on her Garmin. I was like, looked at me and said, you're a marathoner now. I was like, woo, a marathoner and within an ultra marathon. So yeah, that was a really great experience. And then of course, like after that, I'm like, okay, I got to actually do a marathon because, you know, this is weird. But that marathon experience is probably one of my favorites. My now husband, we were dating at the time, registered me for the Columbus Marathon, and we ran it together. And I was like, if you can put up with me for 26.2, I think we're good. And then we ended up running a 50 miler together. And I was like, if he can put up with me for 50 miles, I could probably marry this guy. And then it happened.
And then it happened.
So, yeah. He's like, I don't know how he puts up with me.
Oh, well, I'm not going to wade into that. I'm going to steer clear of that, that little bit, but, you know, you're right though. Like if you can run with folks and on a regular basis, like that's where, I mean, it, certainly for me, you know, some of the best friendships I have are people that, you know, I regularly run with and maybe not to the marriage level when my wife was the runner before we got married. And then after the first couple years of marriage, she kind of runs a little bit now, and I'm the all the time runner, which is kind of crazy how that is switched around. But yeah, I mean, you know, there's just the conversations you have and things like that. Yeah, if you're running with somebody and there's that romantic spark there, like, yeah, that's a pretty good recipe, I think, for a good, healthy, long lasting relationship.
Oh yeah, my husband loves telling the story of the 50 miler at like mile 45. I was ready to put in the towel. It was like that's when the ugly came out. And he just looked at me, and he's a very laid back, relaxed guy. He never yells. And he just looked at me and said, you better effing finish this. We effing trained for this. We are finishing it. And I just shut up and kept moving.
Kept going.
So yeah. And till this day, I think I'm like, thank you for doing that, because I really need it at that point.
Right. Well, and I think, I mean, from the ultra runners I've talked to, and especially for, you know, like I said, mine was a 50K, which I'm certainly not trying to poo-poo that, but it's nothing like a 50 mile, which is nothing like, you know, 100 mile or anything like that. But all of those really long ultra runners that I've talked to, I mean, you know, they all have those moments, and whether it's internally that someone, you know, that their inner voice says that to them to snap them out of it and keep them going, or whether it's a pacer or somebody that's with them, sometimes that's what you need. So, you know, the right guy, again, in the right place at the right time to tell you the right words that are maybe a little bit stronger than would typically be the language, but it works, and it got you through it. And it was like you said, what you needed.
Yeah, we can joke about it now, but at the time I was like, did he really just curse at me?
Well, I mean, 45 miles in, no, you know, the filters are off, and it's time to go.
Yeah, I don't blame him, because that trail it's a really great trail, but it had like rained, it had flooded. That was also in Florida too, because so it was like running through a swamp, and I think that the terrain really got to me more so than the mileage. So at that point, I'm like, there are sticks, rocks, mud in my shoes. I am like done.
Well, from somebody who's down in Florida right now, it's always like running through a swamp, or at least 10 months of the year, whether it's wet or not, it feels like a swamp down here.
Oh my gosh. I do not miss running in the summer down there.
Yeah, I don't either, but what's the option to go inside and run on the treadmill? Like, that's not going to happen. So I'll tough it out and, you know, just get up at 4 o'clock in the morning and try to be done before the sun comes up. Cause that's, you know, not that it's comfortable, but that's the best option.
I don't know. I think Florida runners, they have the advantage when it comes to heat and humidity. So you're like always prepared if you go to like a different race where it's considered hot there. You're like, oh, this is not that hot. So I don't know. I've always felt like, oh, I got this, because I've run in humidity before.
You know, it is interesting you say that, because I tend to agree. And sometimes I don't want to say shake my fist, but like the people that I run with down here, that, you know, you know, it's the same thing. Like, we're running and it's hot and it's humid and it's gross. And then, you know, they go to the race and they complain that it was hot, but it was, you know, it was 75 degrees, which certainly can still be considered warm, or can be considered hot for a marathon. But yeah, it's 10 degrees cooler and the humidity is 50% less than it was here. And it's like, God, that had to feel pretty comfortable. But I mean, yeah, it's still going to impact you. But yeah, it is nice when we go somewhere and it's like you said, it's a little bit warm, but yeah, it is nowhere near like it is down here.
Yeah, I don't think I could acclimate back to summer running in Florida now, because I live in the Midwest and I do not complain in the summer here. It is not half as bad as Florida running.
Yeah. And when it is the same, because sometimes I'll get that from, you know, folks that listen to the show or people that I'm connected with on social media. They're like, man, it was just as hot here in, you know, pick in, insert state that's farther, you know, north of the Mason-Dixon line, you know, as it is in Florida. I say, yeah, but it's that hot there for what, this week, maybe this month, and it's this hot here for 7 straight months. So let's not, you know, just like when I complain about it's cold and it's not, you know, it's not as cold here, maybe for a day, but it's not the same as real winter. So, you know, it all works out. It's just different ends of the year when we're each complaining and comparing.
Yeah, I'm certainly jealous of Florida when it's winter here.
Yep, and that's when I am not jealous
a winter runner.
Yeah, exactly. I grew up in northern Michigan, so I know what real winter looks like. And
dear God.
Yeah, as much as I may once in a while almost complain about the quote unquote winter down here, I know that it is, you know, even 40 degrees is not that bad, especially when you're running. You know, just get out, get warmed up, and you're good to go, and it's not too bad.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. I pride myself that I got through a training cycle running in the winter here, but I mean, I'm allowed to say this because I'm Hispanic, but I'm brown. Okay. Like, my people come from like south of the equator. I am not a winter person. And my husband is like, he's all about winter. And I'm like all about warm weather. And I'm like, why did you bring me to this cold place?
Well, you know, and then I'm sure it switches at least a little bit when it is summertime, or, you know, and it's getting warm and he's like, oh, can we maybe not go outside today?
Yeah, he's got a full-on man beard going. And I'm like, that thing is probably going to bug you in the summer or right now.
Right, right. But the extra insulation. I've got my beard down here and it's the same thing. People are like, oh my gosh, it's got to be so hot in the summertime. I'm like, yeah, but you know what? You're hot too without your beard in the summertime. So what's, you know, it's not that big of a deal.
Oh, I went ahead and like shaved my head because I was just like, this is too, like, I had a pixie cut before. So like shaving my head isn't really a big deal to me, but I went ahead and I just shaved it. Cause I'm like, I can't deal with the extra hair situation while running. I don't know how you guys do it with a beard, but kudos to you guys.
Fair enough. So, yeah, shifting gears a little bit in, you know, kind of part of the intro, I don't know how far back we want to go, but it sounds like your introduction to running is a little, I don't want to say different to a lot of people, because everybody's got a different way that they came into the sport. You know, some people started running in middle school, elementary school, and have always been track, cross country all the way up, and, you know, continue to run for the rest of their life. Some people come to it a little bit later for whatever reason. But, you know, like it said, you traded party girl high heels for running shoes. What was, and again, we can go in as much detail as you want to. But what was the impetus for you to get into a sport? How did you decide to take up running as a passion and a hobby and something that, again, like it says in the bio, that really has changed your life for the better?
Well, running came at a time, I think, when I needed something positive to happen in my life. I had moved from Chicago to Florida in like my early 20s, and I was just, to be quite frank, I was just a hot mess. I had gotten into a lot of bad stuff in Chicago as far as like self-medicating and trying to deal with some like demons from the past that I couldn't handle it. And so my way of handling it was like, I'm going to go out and party and do like party drugs and just numb it. And my family, they came together and were like, you need to fix yourself or else you're going to end up dead. And they just send me to Florida because my parents had moved from Chicago to Florida a couple of years before that. And I got there and I was like a complete city girl snob. Like, why am I here in Florida? Like, there's nothing to do here in Florida. And I actually started running because a guy that I was dating at the time kind of like influenced me to like, just try this out, try to like go out and run. My parents had lived right across the street from a trail system. So I went out there, and this is before I even ran with him and his friend. Like, I went out there and I tried to run. And I mean, I was not, I was not a runner, number one. And I was coming from like a city girl who like smoked a pack almost every day of cigarettes and like was a hardcore drinker and was easily like 30 or 40 pounds heavier. So it was not fun. I think I got maybe 400 meters into a run or a mile and I thought I was going to die. So I stopped running in like the middle of the afternoon in Florida. I was like, who does that? So, yeah. But from there, we just like, you know, he would just kind of mention, hey, you want to do this trail race? And I actually started out on trail more. And I really liked trail because you were out there in nature. And for me, that was like kind of brand new coming from like living in the city for like 5 years. And then I'm out here and I'm like, wow, there's all this green stuff everywhere. This is kind of cool. And yeah, I started doing some trail races. We did other stuff too. Like we did indoor rock climbing and we did some, what are we calling it? Obstacle course, races, which I look at it now and I'm like, I don't think I'd ever do it again because those are really tough. I'm not that cool with multitasking and within running. But yeah, that kind of just sparked the interest. And then I just wanted to get better at my 5K time. And I started, you know, progressively kind of putting together like a little training plan for myself.
Gotcha.
And then from there, yeah, it just evolved. I started working at a running store. And then, you know, I met another group within the community. And they really, like, laid down the foundation. Like, this is a tempo run. This is speed work. This is a long run. And I started doing that. And then I met my husband and he has a background in track and field and cross country. So he was introducing me to like even more stuff. Like I didn't realize you could do like ladder workouts and you can do a marathon pace workout within your long run. So he was kind of like teaching me that. And then I met this group of, they are just amazingly fast guys. And like, they're just sub-3-hour marathoners, I want to say, most of them, and like 19 or faster 5Kers. And my husband started running with them. And, you know, at first I was really intimidated. I'm like, I don't know if I could, you know, hang with these guys. And there weren't many females in the group. And I started training with them and they just taught me how to become like very self-competitive and like more disciplined and more determined. And I really think towards the end of living in Florida, they had a major influence on like me growing up into a better runner, I guess. So those guys are like, I owe them a lot for teaching me and giving me so much advice that like now I'm like, you know, I look back and like, man, that was a really great group of guys to train with. And I was intimidated by them at first.
There's a couple of things that I want to tease out of that, or at least ask about and see where it takes us. But before that, I do want to pay a couple bills. Guys, again, this episode is sponsored by Pro Compression. They've been a great partner, and they're on for you know, several more episodes over the course of the rest of the year. So you're going to keep hearing about them. But again, you can save 40% on anything that you get. Anything on the website just by using the code DizRuns at checkout. So, you know, whether you some new sleeves, some new compression socks, the compression pants that I've been talking about and loving them, head over to procompression.com and make sure that they know that you got, you know, that you heard about it from here by using the code DizRuns at checkout. And again, whatever's in the cart, whatever you're getting, it saves 40%. So it's a pretty healthy little discount. So thanks to Pro Compression for sponsoring today's episode. So you mentioned in there, we'll just kind of go back to kind of the beginning phase of it, and maybe we'll get to a couple of other questions that I might have, but we'll just kind of see how it goes. But, you know, just how that first run, you know, you felt like, you know, like you were dying, just very, you know, very much at the beginning of that first time out there running. I don't know of a better way to ask this other than to just be kind of blunt about it. Why keep going? You know, if it was that bad, if it was that miserable, was it because of the guy that you were dating that kind of, you know, kept encouraging you to do it? Or was there something that it unlocked for you, even though it was difficult, that you wanted to keep going? Like, I mean, if it was that bad, and I mean, why continue?
I think now that I look back on it, at first I was like, oh yeah, it's totally the guy because that's the ultimate motivator. But now that I'm a little bit older and wiser, I guess I look back on it and I'm like, I think I didn't quit because I had quit myself for a really long time and just like numb being a human, I guess, and numbed my emotion. And even within that like first 400-ish meters of a mile, there was a lot of emotion that was going on. And I think that's the same thing that happens when you run a marathon, or for me, when you run a marathon or a 50K, you really have to like work some stuff out with yourself to be at peace. And for me, running has become like something very therapeutic for me in my life, because during that time, I went through some really bad depression, really bad anxiety, and running was something that I would just never quit. And that made me feel really good that I didn't quit something. And then it just became like, I didn't quit running, but now running is making me not want to quit myself and to get better with myself. Gotcha. So it was like a domino effect there.
At what point, and it kind of sounds like maybe is when you got with that second group of guys that you'd mentioned, but at what point did it become something that not only did you, you know, really enjoy and it be a positive part of your life, but where it was something where you were like, I'm really going to push myself and see what happens with, you know, how far I can go in the sport.
I think actually after the first marathon that I did like a 3:58, and I had told a guy that was in that group of competitive guy at a social run, and he looked at me and said, you could Boston qualify if you just train harder. And then that just opened the floodgates. So I was obsessed with Boston qualifying. And this year will be my fourth attempt to do Boston qualify. And I think it kind of parallels what I said earlier. Like, I just am not quitting that dream. It will happen. I told my husband, I don't care how long it takes, I'm getting there.
Wow.
And yeah, I feel like every training cycle for the marathon, you learn from your experiences from running. I definitely take advice from other runners and apply it. And for me, running it just makes me evolve more as like a human. Like, I feel like it betters me as a human because you're learning so much within those miles. And yeah, I guess running is cheaper than therapy, but I've also been in therapy in my past.
How close to Boston are you?
Oh man. The last time I'm doing the Chicago Marathon this year, but the last time I ran Chicago, I was 4 seconds away from saying I BQ.
Oh Lord.
So yeah, it was emotional. I cried a little bit at the finish and then I sucked it up and I went and I found my family because I said, you know, I was really close, but I'm not giving up.
possibly an impossible question to answer, and obviously one that maybe you don't can't know for sure. But would you know? I don't know. Again, if this is quite the a good question to try to answer, but would you have rather been 2 minutes off than 4 seconds off, or was it like that? Does that close hurt more, or more, even more fuel to make it next time?
No, I think it added more fuel to the fire, because after that, I started really, you know, looking at like, what did I do right? What did I do wrong? How can I fine tune training and this and that? Like, it really added fuel to the fire. I am the type of person where I constantly remind myself of humble beginnings. Like, I need to remind myself of every rock bottom in my life in order for me to keep that, you know, fuel to the fire. And that marathon was so much fuel to my fire. Like, everything, I have like a mini shrine in my home gym of my Chicago Marathon poster, my Chicago Marathon bib, my Chicago Marathon medal, to constantly remind me during my marathon cycle that this will happen. I don't even care. You know, I told my husband, even if it's 1 second off from my last time, I'll be happy. Mm-hmm. I just want to keep progressing.
Gotcha. Gotcha. Well, hopefully that, continues to, you know, I mean, you know, the first thing that came to my mind when you said, you know, you look back and like, what could I have done better? Or how could I, you know, 4 seconds is like you choked on a sip of water at some point. Like, 4 seconds is nothing. So hopefully things will go, you know, accordingly this time. And yeah, you'll see that BQ next to your name, and hopefully it'll be enough to, you know, be enough under that you can get to Boston as well.
Yeah, that was another thing going into this marathon training cycle. I decided to like train a little bit of a faster pace than I did that time, because it's getting really hard to get into Boston nowadays.
Yeah, there's no squeaking in. You got to be a solid minute or two. I always tell my clients that if you're 2 minutes or better faster than your BQ time, then you can pretty much relax and you'll be good to go. But yeah, if you're between 2 minutes and 1 minute, like, that's, it's starting to sweat bullets when the time comes.
Yeah, I definitely, you know, friends of mine are like, why are you doing this pace? And I'm like, because it's hard to get into Boston nowadays.
Yeah, it definitely is. Do you think, I've had conflicting thoughts on this, and I've seen conflicting thoughts on this, and I'd love to get your take on it. Doing some ultra stuff, doing, you know, some 50Ks, 50 milers, whatever the case may be. Do you think that those longer distances, even though the pace is a bit slower and the atmosphere is a bit different, do you think those help you when it comes to pushing at the marathon and especially at the end of the marathon? Like, you know, my thought is that, and part of the reason that I ran an ultra is, you know, I always struggle those last, you know, 5-6 miles of the marathon. And so my thought is that if I can push myself to go farther than that once in a while at some of these ultra distance events, maybe those last, you know, 22, 23, 24 miles won't be quite as bad. They're still going to be bad probably, because I'm going to be pushing. I'm pushing to Boston too, although I got a lot more than 4 seconds to make up. But do you think that there's a benefit of doing the ultras? Maybe not simultaneously, obviously, to a training cycle for a marathon for a BQ attempt, but do you think that helps you, or is it just a different challenge, or do you think there's a relationship between the distances?
I think for me personally, yes, it does help in the marathon, only because when I trained for, you know, the 50K and for the 50 miler, that was like the best shape I've ever been in. I like took it very seriously. We were doing back-to-back 20 milers on the weekend. We were hiking and cycling. And mentally, when I did do the marathon after we did that 50 miler, it was a lot easier to digest like a marathon compared to 50 miles. So, and then now looking back on all of that, you know, I was doing some pretty, that was the highest mileage I did, was training for that 50 miler. I think we were in the 60s and possibly 70s with cycling. And I was just like, I just felt really good. Cause, right. I mean, I was just working out all the time.
So
yeah, I would say it does help.
Yeah. Yeah. And I tend to agree, although I haven't seen, I haven't maybe reaped the benefits of it because I kind of slacked off a little bit after my ultra. And so I kind of maybe feel like I lost some of that extra fitness that I had built. But, you know, again, lessons learned. It's easy to look back and go, you know, shoulda, woulda, coulda. But, you know, if you can learn something and then next time, you know, maybe don't, you can improve whatever you did. And hopefully that leads to continue to, you know, performance benefits, whatever your goals might be, whether it's marathons, half marathons, 5Ks, whatever the case might be.
Yeah, I know, but I also have friends who are like, who've done ultras and say that they think that doesn't really help their marathon. I think every person's different. I really strive off of like running forever. Like, I mean, I just realized, cause I did a marathon training cycle where I did low mileage and then I did one with higher mileage, and I'm learning that the higher mileage works for me better. Whereas, you know, my friends, some of them like peak at like 45, and I'm just like, that's too little for me.
Well, yeah. And it is crazy how everybody's different. And, you know, some people can really handle that higher volume. And some people probably through trial and error have learned that, you know what, you got to play it a little closer to the vest and maybe do a little more extra cross training or some extra yoga or whatever to stay recovered and stay moving forward. And it's, you know, that everybody always says it, that everybody's anyway, unique and everybody's different. But sometimes we forget that when it comes, oh, this so-and-so is doing this, so I need to do that too. And that's not always the case.
Oh, I'm so like, I've struggled with comparison so bad being a runner, and I've created, my husband goes, you have created a little positivity bubble. Like, I'm just tunnel vision. Don't look at anybody's stuff. Just do what you think is good for you. You know, sometimes I see other runners running, they're easy runs super fast. And I'm like, I can't do that because then I'll hurt myself. I'm not doing that.
Right.
I'll go as slow as I need to.
Yeah, no, and that's something that I have had to come to grips with myself too. You know, for me, it's been a struggle because a lot of the people that I run with, before I kind of had learned the importance of the easy runs, like, you know, I was running with them all the time, and now it's like on our, you know, I can run with them on the hard workout days, but the easy runs, like, they just tend to maybe go a little bit too fast, or at least faster than I would like to be for my recovery days. So I have to kind of do my own thing, which is tough, but, you know, again, you got to do what you got to do, even if it means leaving some of that group that you would maybe prefer to be with.
Yeah. I have some neighbor runner friends, who I don't want to say slower than me, cause that just sounds like I'm being a butthole, but they keep me honest during my easy runs. They keep it easy and I need that. And especially with, you know, running a little bit higher mileage, that also keeps you honest. Like today's run, I was just death march run, making it really slow because I got a long run tomorrow, and I'm like, just go as slow as you need to go because you have a long run tomorrow.
Right. Right. Yep. And, you know, it's as much as it's nice sometimes to have some people to run with, at the end of the day, you know, we're all working towards whatever our goals might be. And so we got to do the things that, are gonna help us get to that point, as opposed to just getting caught up with everybody else in the running community and kind of that herd mentality of like, oh, well, everybody's doing this, so this is what I need to do. So it's one of those things you probably can't mention enough and maybe can't hear enough, because it's a hard thing to follow. I mean, I quote unquote know that that's what I should be doing, and it's still tough sometimes because, you know, it's nice to run with people and talk with them too. So you get in and all of a sudden you're going a minute per mile faster than you should be, and that easy run is not so easy anymore.
Yeah, and I recently had a friend who was interested in joining Strava, and she was telling me, like, I'm scared that I might, like, compare. And I go, Strava's great because I have friends who are not on any other social media, and that's the way I can, like, cheer them on and see what races they're doing and whatever. And I told her, like, you know what? Just follow the people you want to follow. If people want to follow you and be ultra competitive, then let them do what they want to do. That's none of your business, right? So I just told her, like, you have to, like, remind yourself, tunnel vision, focus on my training.
Yeah. And that's the blessing and the curse of, you know, whether it's Strava, whether it's Instagram, whether it's blogs, whatever it might be, where, you know, there's dozens of people out there that are in, you know, the same level, the same type of workout strategies and things like that. And then there's so many people out there that it's easy to start comparing yourself to, oh, this person's doing this and this person's only doing that. And like you said, tunnel vision. The moral of the story is you got to do what is best for you, and you can be social and connect with people on there, but doesn't mean you have to, like you said, you don't have to pay attention to what they're doing, or you don't have to be influenced by what they're doing. Sometimes easier said than done, but it's a good strategy to maintain.
Yeah. Cause I've done that in the past where I just compare, and it wreaks so much havoc on my training. And then I look back on it and like, I could have just been training and happy and doing my own thing, but no, I had to sit there and compare apples to oranges. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And that's the other thing. You don't know what, you know, you could be looking at somebody and they could have been running for 20 years. So they've got this huge base of fitness and no wonder they can handle X, Y, Z, as opposed to, you know, somebody else who's only been running for a couple of years, doesn't have that base. So, you know, it's just, it's completely apples to oranges every time. And it's easy to forget that because, oh, they're a runner and they're about my age and they're about my, you know, pace level, but there's a lot more to the story than that.
Yeah. I actually had a friend recently say she can't follow me on Strava because she's like, you make me feel so out of shape. And I'm like, don't do that. Like, don't compare yourself to me or anybody else, because I'm like, you have really great strong points, you know, as a runner too, that I wish I had. Mm-hmm. Like your 5K time, that would be great. But, you know, I mean, I told her, I go, I don't intentionally want to make people feel like that. I don't really think in general people don't, you know, they're not out there unless you have like a super ego, but you know, out there like, I ran a million miles this week. I try to be as honest and transparent on Instagram about it. Like, hey, this is a crappy run. Like, this week is a big week for me and I'm tired and I just really want to drink an IPA, but I can't because I got a long run tomorrow. So I'm like, after the run tomorrow, have a beer, finally.
Whatever kind of incentive you need to get out there and get it done and enjoy yourself afterwards.
Yeah, I've been buying like all the, well, my husband has been buying me the, I guess they put out different like flavors or versions of M&Ms now. Mm. So he's been buying me like the caramel M&Ms, the coffee nut M&Ms, and they literally have been motivating me to do my run. I'm like, if I do this, I can get the M&Ms. So whatever works for you people, just do it.
Exactly. Exactly. I wish I had that kind of willpower. Cause if they make it into my house, I'm really good at the store on saying no to stuff, but man, if it makes it in the house, like, doesn't matter, especially peanut M&Ms. You want to see me at my weakest? Just put a bag of peanut M&Ms there and tell me I can't have them, and I'm gonna be a nervous sweat and a hot mess before too long.
Oh my gosh, my husband loves to get those at the movie theater, and we can't even make it through the first trailer, and it's
gone.
I'm like, I have to ask, like, as he opens the bag, can I have just one M&M before he eats it all?
Yep. I am the same way. My wife would be like, oh, they're gone already? It's like, well, yes, we've been married for 10 years. Like, you know how this story plays out the same way every single time. So, if you got peanut M&Ms, you know, don't let me know that you have them, or don't be upset when they're gone. Cause that's what is going to happen. So, anyway, enough. And now I'm getting hungry here talking about peanut M&Ms, and thankfully there aren't any in the house, so I won't go crazy, but I'm going to have to go have something here in just a second. But before we wrap things up, Jasmine, kind of what I love to do in closing of the show is to ask what I call a philosophical question, which isn't really that philosophical, but it's just kind of a nice bookend to the chat, and just a very open-ended, you know, very, very, as much as everything already has kind of been loosey-goosey, but a very, very loosey-goosey kind of question that, you know, people have answered with a couple of words, people have answered with a couple of sentences, and people have taken the ball and run with it, and 10 or 15 minutes later is where the question finally gets wrapped up. So all that to say, you know, you can answer this however you want. There's no expectation of something profound, although we've certainly had plenty of profound in the past and have plenty that haven't been profound. So again, very open-ended. But I'm just curious, you know, with where you are in your running and how, you know, to kind of like you said, I mean, running has really changed you and some of the things that you've learned about yourself and the demons that you've wrestled with over the years and the miles. What does if this is even a question that can be answered, but what does being a runner mean to you? When you think of the fact that you're a runner, when someone thinks of oh, there's my friend Jasmine, she's an awesome runner. What does that label mean to you about yourself?
Oh my gosh. I feel like in my family and in my circle of friends, they're just like, Jasmine's that crazy runner. It's a lifestyle for me. Like everything I do kind of revolves around running now. And it's something that I really hope that I can just continue to do until I want to be running the 90-year-old running the marathon. Like mm-hmm. that would be like my long-term dream. But running just is very precious to me because it really helped me at a time that I really needed something positive in my life that I could consistently be a part of. And I don't want to sound cheesy, but it means the world to me, but it really does because it's brought me my husband. My husband and I met at a running store. It's brought me some of my best friends that live in Florida and I still talk to, live out in California and I still, talk to. And it's not only that, but it, because of me becoming a runner, my dad has ran, multiple half marathons now. My mom has ran, I don't know how many 5Ks now, even my brother. And, my uncle has run a few. I think my cousins have run a few 5Ks now. And seeing that just makes me so incredibly happy that they can find the joy that running has brought to me. And they see how great of an influence it's been on my life. And, I don't know why this memory is popping up in my brain, but I remember a couple months ago, my uncle had texted me. He was proud of me randomly out of the blue. And I was just like, okay, thank you, I guess. What did I do? And he just said, I'm proud of how you turned your life around. And for me in that moment, of course I cried because I'm a very emotional person, but I knew he meant I'm glad you found a passion within being a runner and how great, that influence of running had in your life and brought you all this happiness. So I guess running to me or being a runner means just having a passion and being happy. Running is my happy place. I feel my 110 true self when I'm running. I guess that would be my answer.
That's beautifully put and a great answer. And I'm not gonna even try to add anything to it because that's just gonna take some of the shine off of it. So thank you for that answer, Jasmine. It was beautiful. So again, guys, on the Instagram, if you want to connect with Jasmine, and like she said, she puts it out there when it's a rough day. If you're kind of sick of only seeing positive, every run was fantastic on social media. You can definitely follow Jasmine at run_Jasmine_run. Plenty of good runs, but we all have those bad days. So it's sometimes nice to know that we're not the only ones that are struggling and having a rough day out there, and she'll about it, and I like to think I kind of talk about those once in a while too. So definitely follow Jasmine. It's worth it. And if you want some show notes, if you want the links, if you want to connect with Jasmine and you're not at the phone right now to pop that into Instagram, the links will be on the show notes, dizruns.com/429. So Jasmine, thank you. Thank you for taking the time today. Thanks for chatting a little bit and certainly wishing you a great training cycle and hope that things line up weather-wise and all that kind of stuff that's out of your control in Chicago, and that you can not only take that next step towards the Boston qualifying, but blow it out of the water and nail that goal and have the opportunity if it's so desired to go out to Boston and run the race. So nothing but the best going forward. Good luck, and certainly looking forward to hopefully staying in touch and seeing what the future holds for you.
Thank you. This is awesome.
All right, guys, thank you so much for taking the time to listen to today's episode of the show. I hope you enjoyed the conversation between Jasmine and myself. And as always, I would love to know what stood out to you from this episode. What was your big takeaway or aha moment or whatever the case may be from the chat today? For me, it's something that we've touched on before in other episodes with other chats, and it was probably a takeaway then, and it was also a takeaway now, because it's always a good reminder, and it's always something that quite frankly, I need reminding with, and you know, who knows, maybe you need a somewhat regular reminder as well, and that is the importance of remembering that you need to do what you need to do, and you need to not pay as much attention to what fellow runners are doing, whether it's folks in town, whether it's people that you run with, whether it's your friends online in the running community, whether it's what I'm doing or whatever the case may be. You know, it's okay. It's not the end of the world to keep track of what other people are doing, but you know, whatever goals you have, whatever you're working towards as a runner, you need to be doing what you need to do to move towards that. And when Jasmine was talking about how, you know, she just kind of puts the blinders on and, you know, gets her own in her own little positivity bubble and doesn't worry too much about what other people are doing and certainly not comparing herself positively or negatively to what other people are doing, how that's really helped her. And, you know, I'm obviously not anti social media, anti, you know, the online running community. I love it. I love connecting with so many of you guys and seeing what y'all are doing. But at the same time, you know, I need to do what I need to do, and you need to do what you need to do. And, you know, you may work with a coach who helps you figure that out, but you don't need to be just comparing and contrasting what everybody else is doing, looking at their stats and just thinking that, oh, well, I need to do whatever they're doing because clearly it's working. Clearly it's working for them, but that doesn't mean that it's going to work for you. There is no one size fits all, remember. So that was kind of my takeaway in a nutshell. It's just the reminder, again, to do what you need to do and take care of yourself and, you know, whatever other people are doing running wise, they can take care of themselves as well. So that was it for me. I'd love to know what it was for you. Let me know. Shoot me a tweet at DizRuns. Shoot me an email, DizRuns@gmail.com. Or better yet, head over to the show notes for this episode, which you can find at DizRuns.com/429429, and leave a comment there. And that way other folks can see it and expound on it as well. So that just about wraps it up for today. Once again, thanks to Pro Compression for sponsoring this episode of the show. Make sure you use the code DizRuns at checkout to save 40% and also to support the show as well. And you know, enough people use the link and get some stuff, get some great gear, and show that that they came from the show. And hopefully it keeps Pro Compression around, which I mean, you know, that their support helps keep us on the air, keeps us moving. So it's a great win-win-win again when you use that code DizRuns at checkout. So with that, let's go ahead and put a bow on this thing for today. Thank you guys for listening. I hope you have a great rest of the day, and certainly look forward to talking to you again soon. But until then, take care.